Welcome to The Social Breakdown, a podcast about living a simple and meaningful life. My name is Jessica, and I'm the creator of Nacho Average Fro, a blog that seeks to encourage others to live their best life. On the blog, you'll find stories about how minimalism is impacting my life and also learn about what it takes to be a fro, someone who is free, radical, and original.
I am Karina, the other half of The Social Breakdown. My blog, Karina Time, is all about living life to the fullest as a family from the perspective of a minimalist hooked on adventure.
Hey, Karina.
Hey, Jessica.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing really well. What have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, I'm kind of in a bit of creative break at the moment. So just writing a lot, and you know, my family just visited in August, so I got to enjoy them for a little while. So that was really fun.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I've just been working a lot on the conference, which I'm super excited about. That's coming in December. So trying to get everything planned for that. That's kind of been my main focus recently. So that's what I've been working on, getting everyone like excited.
Didn't the tickets just go on sale?
Yeah, they're on sale now. They went on sale, I think, in early September, like maybe just before September at the end of August. And so now I'm just trying to promote and get people to, you know, sign up and get excited about the conference. And I'm getting ready to share a lot more stuff on Instagram. So I'm excited about that.
Yes, it's a big step. I'm looking forward to it. Like, this is going to be a big deal.
Awesome. Well, thanks.
Do you want to say a little bit like what it is about, like what you guys are doing there?
Yeah. So the conference is called the Visionary Conference. It's like Nacho Average Fro presents Visionary. And it's essentially a focus on how we create the lives that we've always wanted to lead. So like, what does that look like? What is the plan for getting to this life that we've always wanted, or at least getting to the next step? You know, I can't say that everything will change in 1 year's time, but I think there's definitely steps that we can take to get us closer and closer to what that life looks like. So that's the main focus. So I've got panelists, I've got like YouTube influencers, I have a music producer, author, model, actress. All those people are going to sit on the panel with me and kind of talk about how they are creating the lives they've always wanted. And then we'll do some activities and some small roundtable discussions with each of the panelists so that the participants can ask questions of them and, you know, really pick their brains about how they can achieve the things that they want to achieve and what it's going to take to get there. So I'm super excited. And then at the end, we're going to create vision boards for 2019, which is something that I've been doing pretty regularly. And I feel like it's made a pretty huge impact in my life, just having that level of focus on the things that I want to achieve.
Wow, that sounds so great. Like, this sounds like the perfect round package. Like, people, you need to get this. And since it's December, it's a great Christmas present, I would say.
Absolutely. That's a good marketing idea. Yes. I should try that out.
Yes.
I hadn't even considered that.
So people, go get a ticket.
Well, I appreciate your support. So should we jump into today's topic?
Yes, absolutely. We have a great surprise today.
I'm really excited to introduce our special guest, Ashley of the blog Minimally Us. She is a young mom of three, all under the age of five, who lives in Charlotte, and she is adapting to minimalism in the city. So I'm really excited to hear from her what minimalism looks like in her life and some of the changes that she's made and why she decided to jump into this lifestyle.
Absolutely. We are so ready to pick your brain, Ashley.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're glad. So tell us a little bit about yourself so that the listeners can kind of get a feel for who you are.
I am a young, what do they call it? A young professional. However, I recently went through like a large career change. We have recently changed a lot in our family structure just to find happiness. Like, my husband's a stay-at-home dad now, and I'm actually a crawl space inspector after having 8 years in the sales field. I realized that that wasn't making me happy. And after embracing minimalism, I realized I needed to do it the more than just my household, but also like my life as well. So that's been this past year, trying to figure out how we can make my whole family happy with less, actually. I'll just go ahead and say less.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think both Karina and I have had that experience. And I know we've talked about it on previous podcasts, like minimalism. Oftentimes when you hear about it, it's all about stuff, you know, it's all about clearing out clutter. But I really think you can take it to the next step and really look at your life as a whole and say, what is holding me back? You know, what is keeping me from being happy? So I think that's an awesome perspective that you have.
Right. Yeah. And this job definitely helps, because now that I found something, I'm not sitting behind a desk, so I'm active, and I'm usually home and done for the day at around 3:30 in the afternoon. So then I have all this family time to spend with my kids and my husband.
That's awesome. So what's a crawl space inspector?
I was about to ask that too.
Well, in the South, rather than having basements, we just have crawl spaces. So when your house is built, it's just the foundation that gets hidden under the brick or the stone underneath the house. So I just make sure that it's not flooding or there's no wood damage to the bottom of the foundations of the home.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Huh. So especially with the rain and things like that, it can be a really dirty job sometimes, but I love it and I get to help other people. Because like if a family's moving into a home, we don't want them moving into somewhere that has a lot of mold or water damage. So I get to find it and let them know the solution on how to fix it to have the best home possible.
Wow. That's so interesting. Like I never even would have thought like, oh, this is like something that people like do, you know, like it's not even something I would have been like, oh, yeah, I know this guy. He's a crawl space inspector. That's really interesting, though. That's very cool.
Yeah, when I applied, I had no idea what it was. I just knew I didn't want to work behind a desk.
No, that totally makes sense.
Well, that's a good reason.
I totally understand. So I reached out to you because, you know, you've been watching my Minimalism Monday videos, but I'm curious, like, how did you find me on Instagram?
When I started the minimalist journey, I didn't see anybody that looked like me. And so it was really disheartening because I didn't see a niche for really Black minimalists. And that's what I was looking for, especially when it comes to my kids. I know that representation is really important. And when you just look at minimalism on YouTube or on Pinterest, it's all very high end. Everything is sleek and very, very expensive. And so on Instagram, I was searching for other Black minimalists. And then I saw that not only did you fit that, but your stuff was really down to earth and logical and easy to attain.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can appreciate that. I feel the same way. I often find that it's hard to find people that look like me who are also like interested in this lifestyle, or at least talking about it, because I'm sure that they're out there, but I don't think there's a lot of people that have created a platform. But I was really excited. Like once you started joining Minimalism Monday and I started seeing your face on a regular basis, that was really cool. And I'm glad that we like had the opportunity to connect. Like Karina and I didn't know each other before this podcast. We've never actually met in person. Our entire relationship is like built on social media. So I'm always so excited about all the connections that can be made.
Yeah, you never know the people you find on the internet. And I'm glad that there is a niche for everybody out there. You know, that there are so many versions of minimalism, and I'm glad that there's something for everyone.
I completely agree. Living in the time of the internet is a wild thing, and I'm super appreciative of it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So what was your tipping point? Because I feel like everybody has something that happens in their life, or maybe like a number of things that happen in their life that lead them to decide they want to make a change. So was it your job that was the reason that you made this shift, or was it something else?
It was a lot of different things. Me and my husband had great, well-paying jobs. We had a lot of stuff, had a very nice apartment, and I never even thought twice about minimalism. And then I got dubbed as a high-risk pregnancy and then went on bed rest, and my husband was trying to find a different career, so he also wasn't bringing in much income. And then we had 2 car accidents in 1 year and lost both of our vehicles. Oh, and I remember we just had nothing. We were living off of a GoFundMe account within 6 months' time. And I realized that I couldn't afford to buy trash bags. And that was it. Wow. And I was like, I don't understand. If we don't have money, how did I run out of trash bags so quickly? Like, where is this stuff coming from? And so that's when I decided to look at my life and be like, we have all of this stuff that we don't need that's just costing us extra money. How can I fix this? And so that's when I looked into minimalism and adjusting our lifestyle.
So for you, is it more about like your financial status? Like, is there one thing that outweighs another for you when you think about minimalism, or are you just looking at it just from your life as a whole?
As it started as a financial need, because especially with other people helping us out, I didn't want to feel like we were wasting the money that we were being given. But then since then, because that was a year ago, so 2017, since then, we have gotten a lot better in our financial situation and we've just learned to adapt. Now, I feel happy from doing things at home and not buying other things. We very much adapted the lifestyle of let's do things rather than buy them. So we go to anime conventions or video game conventions rather than buying toys to have in the house. And it's just, it's adapted to the whole lifestyle now. So while we're okay financially, we still don't bring stuff home. And it's really nice because now my house isn't cluttered.
That's awesome. So what are some tips you can tell our listeners?
One of the biggest things that I think have helped me, as simple as it is actually having and sticking to a budget. I know everybody says it, but it's so hard to actually implement.
It's true.
Yeah, one of those things, what I started to do if I was out and about and I wanted to buy food, knowing good and well I have snacks in the car, yeah. I was like, I don't want this snack. I would take that money I knew I would spend and then just transfer it to my savings account and then eat the snacks in my car.
That's some discipline there.
Yes, that started to help. Yeah, it's learning to buy snacks that wouldn't go bad so I could keep in the car. Like, I eat a lot of those baby fruit pouches. So it's like veggies and fruit all in one, or like baby carrots. I just keep them in my car now since I drive so much, so I don't have the urge to go through the drive-thru.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea. I like that.
So how did you find out about minimalism? Like, were you following the minimalists or was it through a friend, or how did that work?
I knew it was something that like existed because being in the city, a lot of people are very into the tiny living lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I'd see it on TV. And when I went to go look into it, it just started with Pinterest. And actually, excuse me, I had no idea who the minimalists were until like probably 3 or 4 months into it.
Okay.
What actually helped me start was looking more at zero waste blogs. So I actually started out mainly in the zero waste section and then moved to minimalism.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Are you still keeping up that zero waste lifestyle?
I do it a lot. Zero waste is sadly more expensive than what we can really budget a lot of the times, but we stopped buying paper towels, we don't do paper plates, things like that. So the little things to help us not spend that money but also look around and help the environment still means a lot to me. So now my kids all have their own individual cups that we just always take with us to fill up at water fountains, things like that, so we don't do bottles of water as well.
Yeah, we do that too. That's a really good step of, you know, saving money. And because how old are your kids? 5? Under 5, you said?
Yeah, I have a 5, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, saving money is really important right there.
So what's the hardest thing about zero waste? Because I have considered it, like I followed like zero waste pages. on Instagram, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to use like plastic forks anymore. I'm not going to use the plastic straws at the restaurant, but I haven't really figured out how to like really integrate it into my life. So one, I would love to know, like, how did you start integrating it? And then two, other than just financially, were there other things that you felt just made it very tough to keep up?
I will say you start with one thing at a time. The first thing that we made zero waste was my kitchen, because I realized that's where we were throwing away the most stuff. So like, I don't buy aluminum foil anymore. I very rarely buy baggies. I slowly started to make those transitions to only having cloth napkins and things like that. And that, just taking it one room at a time, just like if you were decluttering, makes it a lot easier. So I started with my kitchen, and then I moved to zero waste products in my bathroom. With a family of five, though, there are some things that are always going to be in plastic. As much as I try to get away from like shampoo and things like that, we all have three very different hair textures. So it's just the easiest thing. It's one of the biggest things is learning that it's okay to fail as long as you keep trying to move forward and you don't let it stop you completely. And then I think the hardest thing to get past is the convenience. Like you said, not using the plastic straws or the plastic forks when you go out. That's really hard to get away from. But if you, again, I stay a lot in my car. So if you keep something in your car that's always with you, it just becomes a lot easier just to say, oh, no, thanks. I've already got utensils, things like that. Just taking it each individual time that you encounter it and trying to move forward. So it doesn't even have to start as like a cold turkey thing. Just know like, hey, if I'm going out to eat this one time, let me remember not to ask for utensils this one time or tell them that they can keep it. Or if you get utensils, wash them and use those again as well.
That's a good point. Okay.
Those are some great tips. So do they sometimes look at you weird when you say no thanks?
Yes. Or like, can I use my own cup? And they're like, what? Okay, sure. <Yeah. laughs>
I can see this happening.
It's helpful living in a city, though, because like we have bikes that you can ride share, a lot of carpooling. So it does help living in a city.
So other than zero waste, do you feel like you have branched out into other stuff? Like I know for me, it was minimalism and then veganism, and those two things ended up going hand in hand. So do you feel like there's other places where you've branched out as well?
I have branched out a lot in the parenting community, which is really different from me because I'm social to people that I know, but when it comes to like having my kids have friends, I wasn't really about it. So it's helped because I needed free things to do, and so I was like, okay, what's local play dates? So that it's helped me expand my kids' world as well.
That's awesome. So how are they? And they're fairly young, obviously, but do you feel like it's been an adjustment for them, or do you feel like it's more an adjustment for your husband adapting to this lifestyle?
I feel like, I think it was overall an adjustment for everybody because we cleared out a solid 60% of my kids' toys. Wow. Once we started, wow. Like we got rid of a lot of toys.
Wow.
And for the first like month or so, they didn't notice because what I did was I let them play and then I didn't make them clean their room for 3 weeks. And anything left in the toy bin, I just got rid of because they didn't play with them.
That's a good thing. I need to start doing that too.
That's funny.
Yes, it helped. It took a couple of months, but we finally got cut back on a lot of their toys. But then they would be like, hey, where's this one toy? Or why can't I get this toy in the store? Like, well, you don't need it. And then my husband, he started noticing that his clothes that he never wore were going away. And he's like, stop getting rid of my stuff. I'm like, it's okay. You don't wear it. But it's I'm the one doing laundry.
True.
But it was mainly an adjustment because I started telling them no when we were in the store. That's really where it started to hit them.
Gotcha. How do your kids deal with that, Karina?
Well, mine are 2 and 5, so the one doesn't really, you know, she doesn't even know how many toys she have, but my 5-year-old, he's coming to me and like he sees me doing it all the time, like getting rid of stuff. And after a while, after he doesn't play with it anymore, he's like, yeah, I don't think I need it. So can I sell it or just give it somebody? So this is how he's approaching me right now.
That's funny. So I guess to both of you, and I think Karina and I may have talked about this a little bit before, but obviously when you have children, you also have maybe like grandparents or aunts and uncles or friends who want to buy stuff for your kids. So Ashley, how are you adapting to that? Or how are those people adapting to this lifestyle change?
It's interesting because I had one of my biggest issues was telling other people no in that situation. Like, no, I don't want this large bag of hand-me-downs. But they've started getting used to it now that I'm very social and I speak out about our lifestyle a lot. And they're like, oh, well, other than this, what would you want? Like for my 5-year-old's birthday, we got her a tablet. And what we asked for was gift cards for books and games for the tablet rather than extra stuff. And so that actually went over really well. And that was the first gift giving holiday essentially that we had since becoming a minimalism. So it's, yeah, they're adapting really well, luckily.
That's good.
That is great.
I'm taking notes over here because I'm going to have children eventually and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this with my parents. So that's a good point. So I guess you've been doing this for, I think you said over or just about a year, maybe over a year now. Is that
right?
Yeah,
just a year.
Okay. So what's been, I guess, like the biggest lesson that you've learned so far?
That to me, retail therapy is not as much as the thing as I thought it was. Because I was very much a person that was like, I'm sad. I need to go buy things and that will make me happy. And over the past year, I've learned that's not so much true and that I can get a lot of use out of the things I already own and looking for happiness elsewhere.
Gotcha. Okay, so I feel like for me, retail therapy wasn't quite my thing, but I am an emotional eater, so I tend to stress eat. So how are you curbing that, you know, because I'm sure you still have some impulses just based on like habits that have been created. So how do you deal with that or overcome that?
Oh, that's a great question. I can relate to the stress eating thing because when it comes to buying things, it helps because my bank account is just like, don't do that. But when it comes to like stress eating, I tend to just make myself busy and like I'll look like, okay, are you actually hungry? Let's down some water and then go from there. And what else can you accomplish in this amount of time? And if you're still hungry in 30 minutes, try it again. So I keep myself busy.
Okay, so you would say that you keep yourself busy as well, like when you feel the need to go buy something?
Yes, rather than leaving my house to go walk around Target, I'm like, you know what? I can clean my kitchen. I can organize my cabinets. Is all of my paperwork done for work?
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good approach, definitely.
So then what's been the biggest obstacle? Has that been the biggest thing to overcome or was there something that you feel like was a bigger obstacle for you?
My biggest obstacle was not letting other people's judgment affect me because I was very much a social person that wanted to keep up with the Joneses and I wanted the best new things of everything. And so when I finally cut back on it and I still had those friends that expected that of me, I had to learn that it's okay to not be on that level. And so that was the hardest thing for me. It was just to be like, okay, I don't need to be like other people. Their judgment doesn't actually affect me. My kids are happy.
That's a good point. I feel like that is my struggle too. I feel like I've removed myself from a lot of things that in general, most people are interested in. Like obviously I still have my Instagram page for Minimalism Monday and all that stuff, but I really try to limit the amount of time I spend on social media. I try to limit the amount of time I watch TV and a lot of other things. And so trying to, I think for me, it's not so much that, I don't know, it's like, I'm trying to figure out where I fit now because I don't do right. Some of those things that my friends still do. That's something that I'm still struggling with.
How did your friends react to you completely getting rid of your TV?
A lot of them didn't really say much. And so it's more people that are acquaintances of mine that are very outspoken about it. Like my close friends don't really have anything to say about it. But I think that might be because they're not sure how to approach it. And people who are acquaintances of mine seem comfortable enough to say, like, I can't believe you did that. Why would you do that? You know, what were you thinking? And so I haven't gotten a lot of pushback or anything from my friends, a little bit with my parents, because they don't feel like they know, like, what am I going to buy you as a gift? Or, you know, because I'm vegan, it's like, what are we going to eat for dinner? So my parents are like really outspoken, like, we just don't know what to do anymore. But my friends haven't been. And I think they're still figuring out, how do I approach this? You know, how do we have this conversation?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely interesting when your friends have to also adjust. They're like, is this a phase? What are you doing? And it's like, no, this is how I feel like I want to live my life now. Cause when me and my husband first got together, we were actually raw vegans.
Oh.
So I completely understand the whole parenting thing. Like, yeah. Are we just going to do dirt and grass? And it's like, no. That's not it.
Yeah, my dad's like, I just don't know, because I live with him. He's like, I just don't know what to feed you. So I'm like, it's really not complicated, but I don't know. It's just like the whole thing that he's going through. So your blog, we haven't talked about that yet. So you have a blog, right, where you talk about minimalism. So what's your primary focus?
My primary focus on the blog is to make minimalism affordable. And sadly, adjusting to my new job and like life and everything like that, I haven't been able to post. However, I do have now 3 to 4 weeks worth of content queued up and ready to go. So I'm super excited to get back into the blogging life. But my biggest goal with my blog is to make minimalism affordable and something that's super attainable, especially to millennials. A lot of my friends are still in college or just moving out on their own for the first time. And the world is a big, big place. Like, nobody taught you that when you move out of your parents' house that Tylenol is really expensive and you eventually have to buy it. So I like being able to show that these things are possible, or if you don't have a lot of money, that you can still live a happy, fulfilling lifestyle. Like, one of my biggest things is the fact that we are a family of 5, but our grocery budget is between $200 and $300.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. You definitely need to write a book about that, how you make this happen.
Yeah, it's I like helping people understand that they can get creative with their food and like they just have to try new things. Like, I learned how to make pasta from scratch and bread from scratch, and just knowing that I can spend $8 to get flour, sugar, and yeast, and then use water or eggs that I already had, and then I can make 20 different meals out of that alone. Can't guarantee it's healthy, but you're going to eat.
That's awesome. Like, so you do you like create your own meals, like whatever you have in the fridge or in your storage or whatever?
Yes, like I actually, we were waiting for payday. And so what I did, I had some kale that was on its last limbs and I blended that up so that I could make pasta out of it. So I made veggie pasta and used like the odds and ends of the bags of veggies that we had in the freezer to end up making like a vegetable Alfredo for dinner.
Very creative.
So are you sharing a lot of those tips and tricks on your blog, or is it more just like stories of how minimalism is affecting your life, or a little bit of both?
It's mainly the tips and the tricks, plus some of my life. Like, the biggest thing that when it comes to my actual lifestyle is how we're opting to go on like vacations or free parks around Charlotte rather than trying to do board games and things at home that cost money. Or basically the biggest thing was me switching careers completely. So I do have a couple of posts about how you can make a lot of adjustments in your life if you're not getting paid well, if you really like your job. Because what is it that they say? If you like what you do, you don't work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with you. I think that if it had not been for minimalism, I probably would still be at my last job, which I wasn't very happy in. I was also in sales. And I had been doing that for about 5 years, and it's lucrative, you know, but it just got to a point where I was like, this isn't really what I want to be doing. And so part of the reason I moved to Dallas was to get away from that job and to start something new, but then also to be with my parents. So I can definitely see how that impacted you.
Yeah, sales can suck away at your soul a little bit.
just a tad. And I think if you like believe in what you're selling in, it can be great. I just got to a point where I was like, you know, this just isn't my passion. So that's something I'm trying to incorporate more in my blog as well, as is like, how do you make that shift? Because it can be extremely overwhelming to think that you're going to throw out your entire life and start something new, and you have no idea what that actually looks like.
Right. Yeah. Because I've done sales since my senior year of high school. So it's been the only thing. I didn't even go to college. Like, that has been the only thing on my career path. I was great. I was one of the youngest managers at my job. And then I was just tired of it. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So it was really scary trying to find something new. And luckily, technically, I am still in sales. However, it's not the main basis of my job anymore. It's just, yeah, I sell things, but I'm also helping people. And that's what even let them interview me, is the fact that I had the sales experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel the same way about my job. Like, now I train people to go into sales. So I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for that experience. But I also knew I have got to do something different. So it kind of worked out that I could use that experience to do something else.
Right.
So that was awesome. So what is like one thing that you want people to know about minimalism? Like, if they're thinking about jumping into this lifestyle, what do you want them to know? Maybe like things to watch out for, but also the most exciting part about this journey.
Minimalism looks different for everybody. That was the biggest thing that I had to understand, because a lot of people are like, oh, minimalism, you can't have knickknacks around the house and you can't do all of these things. There's so many you can't do when it comes to minimalism. And I realized that that's not true at all. It's just, it has to be something that brings you joy and you have a purpose for having it.
Yeah, I feel like we say that all the time. Like, it looks different for everybody. And I got so caught up in watching people on Instagram and reading all these books and thinking that there was a right way to do something. I feel like I'm backtracking a little bit, trying to reset and figure out what actually works for me as opposed to what worked for someone else.
Right. Like, I had to do that with the capsule wardrobes.
Oh yeah.
You guys talked about that a little bit in another episode. Cause I'm like, that's not for me at all. I can't do that. Good power to y'all, but no, thank you.
And it's completely fine. And that's what's so important about this. It, you know, if you love your clothes and you're totally okay with it, then who cares if you have all of them? Like, I think we just get caught up in, there has to be this perfect way and this perfect minimalist. And if I just do this, then I'm happier. But it's not about this. And it's so important to remember that.
Right. That's the biggest thing, especially if I'm out with friends and we like to put together these toy figurine called Gundams. And so they're just like little model kits that at the end of the day, they're toys and you can display them. And somebody's like, well, that's not very minimalist of you. And I'm like,
yeah,
but it is though. Like, it's exact minimalism is what I want it to be. And that's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I was out just the other night with some coworkers, and I ordered like a veggie burger and French fries. And of course, obviously it's like more than one fry, because why would they just only bring me one? And my coworker turns to me and he's like, that just doesn't seem very minimalist to me. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Why would they only bring me one French fry? That doesn't even make any sense.
Oh,
I'm like, I give up. I don't even know. But definitely, like, I feel like I tried the capsule wardrobe. I don't know if mine would really be considered capsule, but it works for me. You know, like I'm changing out similar things in my wardrobe, but I still have like a lot of color, which I desperately needed because originally I just went all black and that was terrible.
I mean, I've always, as you know, I use one pair of shoes constantly. Like I have a pair of boots, I have a pair of sneakers, I have a pair of heels, and then I have a pair of rain boots. That's it. That's all I have. And so once one dies is when I buy another one. And, but like, I like having that difference rather than, oh, like the minimalist, I have my black shirt, my jeans, and these one pair of shoes. That's not really for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually reading an article today that said minimalism creates depression because a lot of minimalists believe in like having very few things in their home and they start taking color out. And they were saying that our brain needs constant stimulation. I don't know if I really agree. I feel like we're overstimulated, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting perspective. I've heard, you know, minimalism is only for rich people and all that stuff, but I had never heard, you know, minimalism causes depression.
No, I never heard of that either. That's interesting.
I can see where they get it because of the stigma around minimalism. Like when you do look online, everything is just empty and like sleek and gray and white and black. And so people think that they have to get rid of everything. And so they're like, oh, wait, now I'm sad. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I definitely, like, I'm getting more wear out of my shoes. But I'm now, like, sad. I used to not really be sad. Like, if something got to the end of its life, okay, I can't wear this t-shirt anymore. It has a hole in it. It was just like, oh, I have plenty of other t-shirts. Now that I've pared down my wardrobe, if I wear my shoes down or something happens to one of my dresses, I'm like genuinely upset. Does that happen to y'all?
Yes. I learned how to fix a lot of my clothes for that reason. I'm very attached to my clothes.
I'm at that point now. I like broke one of my favorite dresses the other day. I'm like, I have to learn how to sew. I cannot get rid of this dress. I'm like so attached to my stuff. And I'm like, is that minimalist? Because I feel like we're not supposed to be attached to our stuff.
I noticed that I do a lot of things I would have never thought I would try to do this. Like sewing or like planting my own vegetables or I don't know, stuff like that. I would have never thought in a million years I would do this. And now I'm doing this and I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah, I do think it's cool how once I got rid of a lot of things, it just opened the door for other opportunities, like things that I just never really considered I would do. I mean, even this blog, like I never ever thought I would be a blogger. You know, I never knew that Minimalism Monday would be a thing. So that is really exciting just to know like how many opportunities have come from making this one change in my life.
And plus your Minimalist Mondays are so cool and relatable. Like I look forward to it as long as my kids go to bed on time. But I really like watching your episodes on Mondays.
Thank you. It's honestly like the highlight of my week. It's encouraging to know that other people get excited about that. So I really do appreciate that. Where can our listeners find you if they want to find your blog, your Instagram?
I am on Instagram and my blog are actually, I got super lucky that they are the same name and it's just under Minimally Us. And it's a lot of my blog is more so the tips and the tricks and things like that. And then my Instagram follows a lot more of my life. So there's more of my kids and things we do around town, mainly on my Instagram. And then I periodically update the blog. And I'm trying to get a lot better about that, having like at least once a week posts coming out. So you can definitely check me out there too. Oh, sorry. Minimallyus.wordpress.com is the blog.
Got it. Okay, so Minimally Us on Instagram. Are you only on Instagram? Is that your only social media?
I tried the Facebook for the blog, and it just didn't really work out that well. So I'm learning, especially after your, what social medias do we use, that the Instagram is the best for me, plus that WordPress blog.
Gotcha. Okay, so Minimally Us on Instagram, and then minimallyus.wordpress.com if they want to read the blog. Okay, well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Any last words, any final thoughts that you want to share before we close out?
I will say that this is such a great community to be a part of too, especially in the age of having everything right now and having everything that we could possibly want, that it's so nice to have other people in our community, from you that, you know, don't have any kids, to Karina that has also a family too. It's nice to be able to be, it's nice to be able to meet with a whole bunch of different people and know that we're all trying to accomplish the same thing.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And we are so happy that you decided to join us today.
Thanks for having me.
And we're looking forward to continuing to support each other, because I know that's so necessary, especially when you start in this lifestyle.
And we learn so much from each other too. Like, I would have, you know, there are so many things we discussed today that helped me, and I'm sure other listeners as well.
I'm so glad I could be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yes, thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
That was awesome to have Ashley here with us. Really looking forward to next month's episode, where we talk about minimalism and gifts. Since the holiday season is coming up, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to be thinking, how do I even do minimalism and buy gifts for people all at the same time? So that will be exciting. And you can talk to us about what you've learned about how minimalism got started.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of planned next episode as well, so don't forget to listen in.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited.
Me too. I will talk to you soon.
All right, bye.